Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Clara Mallard, and as a content specialist for BCC Research, I'm excited to bring you along as we talk to the companies and individuals who are leading us into the future. Today, we're continuing a conversation we've started with Ecovyst. This time, however, we'll be focusing on the future of sustainable innovation, which, as you all know, is one of my favorite topics. According to BCC Research, statistics demonstrate that companies who have an internal rate return of 27 to 80% on their investments in low carbon reduction. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to sustainable innovation. Diving into what this all looks like for Ecovyst and Silica Catalyst is today's guest, Paul Robbins, Vice President for Silica Catalyst, Ecovyst's sister company. We'll be examining the fine line between developing products that meet customers' needs while also having a positive environmental impact. Boiling it all down, we'll be answering the environmental version of, can you have your cake and eat it too? Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Clara. Nice to be here.
So let's start off with you. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and what are the origins of Ecovyst?
Sure. I think as you mentioned, I'm currently the commercial vice president of Ecovyst Silica Catalyst business. I'm based here in the UK in our Warrington office. I've been with the company for 30 years now, working across multiple functions within the business. As it's evolved through different ownerships, originally with Unilever, ICI, INEOS, PQ, and now we've formed as Ecovyst. I'm an engineer by background, but I've worked in the commercial functions for about the last 10, 15 years. So in terms of the origins of Ecovyst, well, Ecovyst is really the catalyst business that has come out of that changes of ownership. So PQ Corporation had a number of businesses associated with it. It had a catalyst business from INEOS, it had its own catalyst business historically, and it had purchased the eco-services business from Solvay. So within PQ Corporation, there was a strong section of catalyst businesses, but they were overshadowed at the time by our chemicals and materials businesses. So PQ made the decision to divest the materials business and divest the chemicals business. And what was left were the core catalyst businesses, which have now formed Ecovyst.
I love that. And I know that this has happened pretty recently. So let's put that in light of what has happened with COVID-19. How has the pandemic impacted your work and the trajectory of Ecovyst?
Yes, absolutely. We've had a very, very busy time during the pandemic, not just forming Ecovyst, which did launch, as you say, very recently at the beginning of August. But also obviously keeping the business operating through that time. I think in terms of how has that affected us personally, I've spent a lot more life on Teams calls than I used to do, and a lot less time at airports. From a business perspective, though, I think the silica catalyst business in particular, we have very much gone from strength to strength through the pandemic, because it's become increasingly clear that the demand for our products and our catalysts, particularly ones going into plastics such as polyethylene, has increased significantly during the pandemic as this huge demand for films and packaging. Okay. So yes, I mean, the pandemic has certainly affected us, with many of us now shopping online, and that requires more packaging. And also, of course, all the medical devices that are required, such as face masks, sanitizer bottles, acrylic sheets, all of these products and applications require our catalysts. So the demand has been very strong. And the forward forecasts, in terms of the question you're asking on trajectory, very much are showing that demand is set to continue.
Definitely. And it's, you know, it's interesting to kind of see how that process is unfolding, because I know a lot of people are aware that, you know, people are shopping online more and that there is this greater need within the medical industry, but they don't fully understand what that breakdown looks like. So this really gives us a bit of an insight into that. And we're going to come back and touch upon plastics and that role in a minute. But before we do, let's dive into sustainability kind of like in a more general sense. And this is one of my favorite questions to ask because, well, I get to talk to people who are much smarter than me and who have really interesting solutions to this. So when customers and consumers talk about sustainable innovation or sustainable solutions, What is it that they are really looking for? And then how is your industry preparing itself for that?
I think that's a great question. And I think the end consumers really are looking for industry to help them to do the right thing. Yeah.
Mm.
And they want to protect, you know, the consumers, they want to protect the planet from climate change, and they want to protect the environment from plastic waste. And I think in today's world, you know, the global supply chains have been very complex. And within that supply chain at Ecovyst, we're quite far removed from the consumer. So our focus is very much on what we can do for our customers, and then how they in turn can help the consumers to effectively do that right thing. Okay. So just to give you some examples of, you know, what we're doing in our industry and what we're doing. So again, coming up on the plastics and the polyolefins, we're helping them to innovate more sustainable solutions for the plastics. You know, plastics do have a good place in terms of lightweighting. So we can develop our catalysts to give lighter weight products. Which in turn reduces the amount of plastic that's used and makes something lighter, so that if you're driving a car and the car is lighter, it requires less fuel. In the chemical catalyst area, we're using our material science expertise to really help companies to innovate to realize their dreams. So we're working with some companies who have some fantastic ideas on how to improve sustainability. Just in terms of chemical products that are used every day. So, and I'll touch on some more of those later.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think we're working with consumers. I also think consumers and customers are looking for us to come up with novel solutions, which might solve issues that have previously gone ignored, but are potentially still detrimental to the environment. So, and a great example of this is we're developing a novel range of advanced ion exchange materials, which will enable mining companies such as copper mines to actually selectively take the copper out of their waste streams and put it back into the process. And those kind of solutions don't actually exist at the moment. So we're trying to introduce new ideas to solutions which have currently been ignored.
Oh, I love that. That is wonderful. And before we focus on those future innovations, let's just dive a little bit deeper into your current products. So in this grand scheme of sustainable innovation, what role do your products play? And you've touched upon this a bit, but maybe diving into it a little bit more. Do you consider your products essential? And if so, why?
Yes, absolutely. I think, in many chemical processes, it is actually the catalyst, and in our case, the silica-based catalyst, that's really at the heart of that process that our customers operate. So for instance, when making a polyethylene, it's the catalyst that initiates the reaction, and that's what determines a lot of the properties of the final polyethylene resin, and also the way that the equipment and the process operates. So absolutely, the catalyst is essential for those customers to make what they're targeting. Similarly, we're working closely with customers who supply customized or bespoke chemical catalysts to meet their requirements. So again, it's the catalyst that determines how the reaction proceeds and the kind of process that they can use. And we're very much focused on working with customers who are trying to develop their processes to be more sustainable and use less energy, and be less harmful for the environment. It's also essential that the catalysts we produce are made very consistently to a very high quality standard, so that they perform as expected time after time. If you have big variability in your catalyst, it does not deliver what the customer needs. So the quality of what we deliver is absolutely essential to our customer requirements.
Yeah, because you have to make sure that if you can continually provide that material at a high level, at a high quality level, that's kind of what ensures that they're capable of then going forward and creating these really sustainable products utilizing your catalysts.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you've mentioned polyethylene a few times, and I want to focus on that because plastics, and especially polyethylene, has had its fair share of criticism because of its, you know, impact on pollution and on the environment. However, we're continuing to use it at record levels, and, you know, looking at the impact of the pandemic, we've seen a massive surge in the consumption of plastics throughout these past 18 months. So this all sounds a bit counterintuitive. Can you speak to that? Like, what do you have to say about this whole situation?
Yeah, I think we need to be careful not to sort of totally overlap two very serious issues. Firstly, plastics waste. Yes, plastic waste is clearly a huge global issue, and that's going to require, you know, considerable effort in the coming years to move the plastics industry really from a linear economy to a circular economy. You know, and these efforts really need to come from many areas. So industry, I mean, industry has to be the focus, and I mean the whole supply chain within the industry needs to be working on solving the plastic waste issue and getting to a more circular solution. Similarly, politicians are absolutely key in terms of making sure that they legislate in a way that drives innovation in the correct way. Local governments are clearly need to put in place the ability to collect plastic to enable it to become circular. Waste management companies, pressure groups, and all this obviously being driven by the consumers demanding that the industry steps up. So I think, you know, when you look at the first issue of plastics waste, I mean, what's clear is this will take time to get to a circular economy. But I think what's very encouraging is that the plastic industry is no longer in denial that this needs to be done. And I genuinely think that that because of the demands of all of us making on the industry, and especially the next generation, I mean, my children are absolutely passionate about, you know, reducing plastic waste, and, you know, it's absolutely key to what the next generation want us to be working on now. And I think that's driving very significant innovation towards circularity. And the good news is a lot of the technology required to do this actually already exists. But it's working with companies like ourselves where and with us helping in the supply chain, it's how do we scale that all up? And so, you know, we have you were talking to Lucy and our Zealist business recently, and, you know, they've got some great catalysts there where, you know, they're working with companies on how to improve chemical recycling. So I think, yes, plastics and polyethylene has had its criticism. But you need to put it into the context of why it has that criticism, and you know, I think the optimist in me says that you know the industry has seen the issues here and they're very much driving for circularity. So I think when you move on to the next big issue, which is obviously climate change, I think there plastics and polyethylene in particular actually have a significant amount to offer. Oh. And what I mean by that is, for instance, you know, polyethylene films, I mean, they are used in food packaging. That's one of the key uses of polyethylene. And that greatly increases the life of food. It therefore reduces waste. It therefore reduces, you know, excess, you know, production, etc. The lightweighting of plastics, which I touched on earlier, that enables when you're transporting things, they weigh less, so it consumes less energy to transport them. So, you know, as you put plastics into, you know, storage bottles, etc., the overall equipment weighs less. Similarly, you can make a car weigh less if it's got plastic parts, and so you consume less energy and fuel to actually to move it or transport materials. So I think the plastics industry will remain strong, and when you put those two together, and when you've got a circular plastics economy, that has the potential both to reduce the environmental impact, reduce CO2 emissions, but also, you know, improve the situation with regards to plastic waste.
I love that. Thank you. Because I think you mentioned this, but it really, I've started to really understand that it's very important to put, like you said, the issues into perspective and really understand where it all sits within this ecosystem. And let's keep this momentum going and looking into the future of plastics, because I think that's the optimist in me who thinks that, you know, that there is a future for this industry and it can become less of a villain and more of a supporting, you know, character in what we're trying to do just within innovations and businesses. So what do you see the future of plastics looking like? And then, because Ecovyst is so integral into that, what role is Ecovyst playing in making its contribution? So I guess talking more about your offerings and solutions to this situation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said in my previous answer, I think plastics have got a very good future, especially if you can close the loop and make it a circular economy. That is not going to happen overnight. That is going to take time. But, you know, I've been at recent conferences and you talk to a lot of leaders in this area, and there's clearly a huge push from the industry to move towards that circularity, and that's key. So plastics, I think, have definitely got the opportunity to move from being the villain to being more the hero for climate change, without a doubt. It's interesting analogy as well, because I think, you know, in the COVID crisis, plastics certainly played a very key role in helping the world in that respect. I think in terms of what's the role INEOS is playing, I think, you know, we're very much, you know, we help others develop solutions. You know, we have fantastic materials knowledge. Our expertise is in our material science and understanding of silica chemistry, and understanding how to commercialize catalysts and take them to larger scale. So we're working very closely with our customers to help them improve their processes, to help them improve their products. I've touched on lightweighting before. But also other help them improve their processes so they become more energy efficient in terms of how they make the materials. And also we're working very closely with a number of companies who have got innovative ideas on how to make plastics out of biomaterials. So we're working with companies where, you know, they will take biomass or they will take waste products and they can turn that into innovative materials. We're even working with one company where we're developing, scaling up their catalysts and their systems where they can put CO2 back into the plastic. So instead of having a plastic chain made of a fossil fuel or even a recycled material, you actually have a chain with CO2 linkers in it. So that is actually negative in terms of its carbon impact. So some very exciting innovations. Unfortunately, most of them are done under confidentiality agreement, so I can't tell you who with.
Yes, makes perfect sense. But it is really cool to hear about those kinds of products that are being made, because that is really the way that we will create that circular economy, and also create a reason for a circular economy within the plastics industry to be created, because these innovative solutions are now coming to light. Now, I know that you guys are not the only company currently working on these catalysts and working with other companies in this regard. So what do you see as your competitive edge in this industry?
I think, again, a good question. I think the broad range of our product portfolio, our broad product platform on which to build the catalyst is key. I think also our scale is key. You know, we have our silica catalysts are based on a range of platforms, and we can scale up very quickly from bench to pilot scale to commercial scale, which there are very few others, if any others, who can do it as quickly as us with that intimate product knowledge to enable them to do that. So our competitive edge is we want people to, you know, a company, a customer can come to us with an idea, an R&D department can come to us with an idea. For them, it might be working really well on the bench, but what they can't do is then get that into a scalable position where they can run commercial trials and run this at commercial scale. Their expertise is usually in the application or the process. Our expertise is in the catalyst and the development and scale up of that catalyst. So our edge really is our fantastic material scientists who totally understand how to manipulate silicas and to help people, you know, develop the catalyst that they need, but also then being able to take that from bench to pilot to commercial scale rapidly to help accelerate our customers' innovation.
Oh, I love that. It's so cool too, because it's the one thing that I think when someone thinks of, and I say this as in the general public, when they think of solutions for sustainability, I think they always think of the end product and not necessarily the key elements that even enable those end products to be created. So this is a wonderful example of how essential you guys are in this role, even though at the end of the day, most people aren't thinking about the catalysts because they're just looking at what this end product or service can do. So that's a good way for people to kind of rewire their thinking about this and really see, you know, these key instruments of, or these key companies that are really making a huge impact in our, you know, us taking a step forward towards sustainability as a whole. Now, we focused a lot on plastics because it's plastic and we need to, but it's not the only thing that you guys focus on. You guys have other products that are being utilized and they are also contributing to an eco pillar, if you will. So can you speak a bit towards your other products and how those are being used?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, while, you know, like you say, plastics is something we've focused on a lot here in polyethylene, and that's very much historically been the core of our business. But based on our knowledge of our materials and where, you know, our R&D efforts now are very much focused on sustainable innovations across a whole breadth of areas. You know, again, as I said, to make sure that our customers' technologies are very successful. I mean, just to give you an example of some of the areas that we've been working on. We're currently commercializing, or we're in the process of commercializing catalysts, for instance, with a company who makes sustainable aviation fuels. So they're doing this from micro GTL reactors. They take biomass, waste materials, and they're starting to gain a lot of traction. Because they can, you know, their process using our catalysts is making fuel from that biomass, which can go straight into a plane and have a sustainable way forward for aviation. In other areas, we're working in confidence with a number of companies who are actually trying to make bio-based materials, which are effectively making chemicals which were widely used in industry. And instead of them being made from fossil fuels, again, they're using bio-based materials to make those chemicals, again, using our catalysts. In a couple of other areas, we work closely with a number of companies who are working on carbon capture, for instance. So both carbon capture from stack emissions, so you're taking the CO2 out of the stack and using it elsewhere, and even one company where they're looking to capture the CO2 from the atmosphere. And effectively take it out of the atmosphere for use. And again, silica being the core material which we can functionalize in order to make that application work. And then the other one, which I think is quite exciting as well, is the one I mentioned earlier about CO2 actually going back into the polymer chains.
Yeah.
You know, again, that could be used for plastics, but it could be used for a whole host of other areas, not just plastic related, but other chemicals where you actually start to put CO2 back into the process. And that's a very exciting company that we're working with. So, but again, as you said earlier, I think really we're kind of in the shadows. We're working behind a lot of these companies to help them be successful.
Yeah, it's so, oh my goodness, this kind of stuff gets me totally fired up because you really can see all of this push that is going to impact, you know, the way that we live and really for the better, and how this is going to be helping solve some of these issues of climate change and pollution that I think can get a lot of people down because they're only seeing the problem and they're not realizing the innovation behind some of these solutions that are really coming to market soon. So it's going to be so cool to kind of see this all unfold. And now I'll know who's kind of behind most of these new things coming up, or a good chance that you guys are involved in some capacity. Paul, this has been awesome. Thank you for coming on and for sharing this, because I think it's just so key that people understand the workings behind. Like you said, you guys work in the shadows. You're kind of like that kind of background player, but just so imperative and so necessary. So with that in mind, I've got one last question for you. What's next for Ecovyst?
What's next for Ecovyst? I'm really optimistic for Ecovyst. I think, you know, Ecovyst has got a great future because we are really linked into so many sustainable solutions. You know, the chemistry that we have, the material science knowledge we have, has got so many great opportunities to develop, to support companies in developing these novel solutions. So we, you know, we've been growing within the silica catalyst business. We've been growing rapidly the last few years. We absolutely think that growth, we've got very strong foundations to continue that growth and to start to move much more strong, to diversify out of the plastics into the biomaterials, into the metal, advanced ion exchange materials. Many things we can do to grow in those areas. So I think what's next for Ecovyst, I won't say it's more of the same. It's a very optimistic. I think it's more growth, continuous growth, but really high focus on those sustainable areas and focusing on innovation in those fields.
For sure. And I, for one, am going to be keeping a close eye on the work that you guys are doing, because I think it's just so great and it's going to have such an impact. So that's wonderful. And for other people, for some of our listeners who are just as pumped about this as I am, we will be linking the links to the websites Ecovyst and Silica Catalyst in the show notes. Is there any other place that they should connect with you or the company?
Please do take a look at our website, ecovyst.com. That gives you a good overview of our technologies and what we can do. There's also some excellent links there to our tech services department, our tech support department. Please look at ecovyst.com. Great place to see where we're at.
Perfect. I'll make that easy access for everyone to kind of check you guys out. Once more, Paul, thank you so much. It's been wonderful having you on and talking all things innovative, sustainable innovations and Ecovyst's future.
That's great, Clara. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the You Should Know This podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing or sending us a quick 5-star review. Episodes come out weekly, and we're excited to bring you along as we talk to the companies and individuals who are leading us into the future.